In the holy name of Jesus, amen. If you weren't able to listen to the sermon last week, we talked about how Advent is all about the coming of Jesus. And we talked about three different comings of Jesus: at the incarnation, born of Mary, in word and sacraments, to the church today, to forgive sins, and at the last day, to judge the living and the dead. Last week, we talked about the coming of Jesus. And so today, we talk about the coming of the day. The day is coming. What day? Judgment Day. The day when all the arrogant and evildoers will be judged according to their wickedness. Nothing will give them refuge, because anything they found refuge in during their earthly life will be swept away with the destruction of creation. If they found refuge in family, their family will be swept away with all creation. If they found refuge in drugs and alcohol, they will be swept away with all creation. If they found refuge in their jobs, that will be swept away. If they found refuge in money, nice houses, food on the table, or entertainments to occupy their heart, or having a nice savings account with storehouses built up, that will be swept away with all creation. The only one thing eternal above it all is God. He is the refuge for those who fear Him above all earthly cares and concerns. For He comes with healing in His wings. That's the message that the church needs to spread above all else. That's what the church is about. Above all else, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Sometimes churches want to make themselves be about anything other than that. But the church is not a refuge for our pride. The church is not a refuge for our money. The church is a refuge for sinners, a hospital nursing the wounded back to health. My confirmation verse is Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And whenever there's trouble, God is a safe haven, someone who provides peace and rest amidst a sin-filled world. God is always there to fight for and to be with those who fear His name. And so the verse following my confirmation verse says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. This part always seemed a little bit less applicable, at least in its literal sense, because mountains aren't moving, the sea isn't in this constant rage. But one day it will. Creation will become unglued. It'll become unhinged. What God ordered to be together will become chaotic and torn apart. That's when the gospel says that the day of redemption will come. It says there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the seas and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Let me first explain by saying this. The Lord promises signs when the day of the Lord draws near. But in no way does anyone, in not even Jesus, knows when the second coming will happen. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. Matthew 24:36. And in some sense, the signs have been around for a long time. Natural disasters have plagued creation in the past. And there have been worse disasters that have happened in history than even what we experience now. And so these signs described in the text, it almost seems to be an always constant reminder that at any point, all creation could become unglued, unhinged. In that day, the unbeliever will suffer the wrath of God and burn in the heat of the day. But the one who fears the Lord above all things will find refuge underneath God's mercy. Do we fear the Lord? Or do we fear what's coming in the world? Do we fear the one behind the roaring sea and waves, the sun, the moon, the stars? Or do we fear creation itself? Scripture declares that the world has a misplaced fear. They fear the things in front of them. They fear the signs in the sky and the roaring waters that rage around them, the things that they can see, they can measure. But most importantly, they don't fear the one who pushes those things into action. They don't fear the one who controls the heavens and the earth, the creator of it all. We see the signs, and in perhaps in some sense, we fear the unhinging of creation that some scientists predict will happen. With temperatures on the earth's surface rising, some climate change scientists call for an impending doom. An eventual unhinging of creation, if you will. That's met with perplexity by the nations. Anxiety by individuals. People fainting with fear, as the text proclaims and predicts. And people have a darkness plaguing their hearts and souls that something bad is going to happen. And if the unhinging of God's creation doesn't cause fear, there are other things in the world which may cause fear. For example, COVID. I'm sure you've heard about the Omicron variant that's caused fear in a lot of people. Or uncertainty and seeming instability in governmental structures and leadership may cause you to fear. There's a lot of big picture stuff that may cause you fear. Or your fear may be more personalized, like not having enough money, or having family or friends taken from you. Or you may just generally suffer from the everyday anxieties of life. But the Lord would not have us fear these things. The world faints with fear. The world faints with fear over these things. But what would God have his people do in the face of adversity? In the face of trial. Jesus said in the gospel, "Straighten up and raise your heads. This isn't to say that these things don't matter. Surely they do. Our health, our earth, our money, our gifts from God. But they aren't God's. They can give us nothing. What do they matter in the scope of eternal life? Really nothing at all. The unhinging of the earth, they're just signs. Signs which point us to the coming of God's eternal kingdom. It's as St. Paul says several times throughout his letters, set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. That's the summed up version of what Jesus says in verse 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, meaning the squandering of the gifts that the Lord has given. Lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. If we fear the creation more than the Creator, our hearts have been weighed down by the cares of the world. If we fear having our strongholds taken from us, our hearts are occupied with the cares of life rather than the cares of the Lord. If we fear the collapse of nations, perhaps even our own, more than we fear the kingdom of God, our hearts are plagued with dissipation. When fear is focused on anything but God, that coming day will be like a trap. That teaches the first commandment pretty well. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Luther's definition of a god seems to hit the nail on the head for what Jesus is trying to teach. A god is anything that you go to for comfort during trouble. A god is something that you fear above all else because you realize its power. We fear God because we truly recognize who we are and how the Old Testament lesson says that all arrogant and evildoers will be set ablaze at the coming day and be reduced to stubble. God has wrath on sinners. That should cause fear, because there's times we fit into that category with the arrogant and evildoers. However, we also love and trust in God above all things, because He first loved us. He sent His Son to pay the punishment of sin and wrath of God, described for that coming day. Now, there's one important difference between the Trinitarian God and other false gods mentioned this morning. Those false gods aren't alive. They don't love you. They don't have your best interests in mind. They're dead. Or at least they will one day. But our God lives forever, above us, through us, in us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are constantly at work to be a refuge for those who fear His name, He protects, guides, provides, redeems, forgives, sanctifies us all through the work and blessing that he gives through the cross. He restores a rebellious, sin-filled people to himself through the wrath of God poured out not on us, but on his only begotten Son, the one who's coming we look forward to this Christmas. And God gives the greatest blessing to us amid a world which promises destruction and unhinging of everything ordered by him. He gives his words. His words are eternal. They do not rot. They do not waste away. His words will not become unhinged. They will deliver us into eternity. Even though earth and heaven will pass away, his words remain. His teaching remains. His soothing, forgiving word remains. His story of redemption remains. Our baptismal promises remain. Our blessings received in the Lord's Supper remain forever, without end. And because you have these things, you stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Word of God keeps us awake. Without it, our hearts become heavy. And that coming day will come burning like an oven. But with his words, Christ awakens us to his goodness, and the Lord shall be our refuge, our strength, and ever-present help in trouble. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.